Hey guys, and welcome to the WWE Podcast. This is your 2021 Royal Rumble review with YouTube's The Botch Guy. So we cover everything, as you'd imagine, from Edge's win to Bianca Belair to the things that didn't happen. So let's get everything going right now.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your number one source for the latest in WWE news and straightforward analysis.
Are you ready to get this thing going?
Give me a hell yeah! I said give me a hell yeah!
Then let's get this show started right now.
Oh yes, everybody, it is time for your Royal Rumble review. And it's with none other than YouTube's The Botch Guy. As you know, he's been joining us here for several months now on pay-per-view review shows. We're recording this as the Royal Rumble is going off of the air. I mean, it just went off the air about 20 minutes ago. So we are hot off the press, so to speak. And it's always great having him on the show. He brings so much energy and just a different perspective, usually just a positive outlook, too. I mean, you really won't find many YouTubers that are this positive about wrestling, even though, ironically, he's the Botch Guy. He does, of course, provide a very positive spin on the product, and that's also, I think, a great thing to have as a wrestling fan, is the positivity that he has, and I'd like to take some of that sometime. I know, but anyway, guys, this is a huge show. As you know, we discuss everything, every match. We discuss the things that didn't happen, right? Like no cash in from The Miz, no Fiend, no Rock, no Cena, no Lars Sullivan. All of these things, among other things, of course, that were rumors that just happen every single Royal Rumble pay-per-view time is rumors go crazy. You have this and that, and websites reporting this, and rumors, and oh, so-and-so was spotted, and all these things. But a lot of that didn't materialize, and we cover that, of course, and as well as the review of the matches itself, including Paul Heyman's botch of getting the handcuffs off, which I don't think was his fault, if you look closely. And we discussed that match, Bianca Belair's massive win. We have the Drew McIntyre-Goldberg match. I mean, guys, it's exactly what you'd imagine here. So, if you haven't subscribed already, head on over to YouTube and subscribe to The Botch Guy on YouTube. I mean, you'll do yourself a favor, I promise you. He is one of the best out there, and I can't say enough about his channel. So, and he's super quick to post. I've never seen anyone in this on the world on YouTube, wrestling especially, that is so quick to post. And I think that's certainly a good thing when you're trying to get an instant reaction. He is on top of everything when it comes to wrestling. So head on over to YouTube and search The Botch Guy if you haven't already done so. You'll be, again, doing yourself a favor as a wrestling fan. So, guys, a couple last things before we get going here. Number one, if you'd like to support the show, there's no better time than WrestleMania season to kind of plug yourself in and maybe start a new podcast or hang out with us from now through WrestleMania and maybe beyond. And you can do that by, of course, subscribing to our feed right here on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening. And you can also support us on Patreon. If you don't like the ads, you can head on over to Patreon and get yourself an ad-free experience. Search the WWE Podcast and get the entire library for $1 ad-free. Not bad. So the other thing is, if you do shopping on Amazon, start at WWEpodcast.com. You can click on the banner right there, and it'll redirect you to Amazon. It just tells Amazon that we sent you there, and we get a small percentage of whatever you purchase. There's nothing added extra, no hidden anything. So that's the other thing, and that's really all I got to say. So we will be back, of course, on Tuesday with your Monday Night Raw review of the Royal Rumble fallout, unless something drastic happens tomorrow, and then I'll do a quick hits, which is kind of like an emergency show. If you see a quick hits, I do tend to only do that with big news stories that are coming out, and I don't have time or don't want to wait till my next show. So other than that, we'll be back on Tuesday for your regularly scheduled Raw review, and Wednesday's Nostalgia in the Mailbag, and I'm sure you guys are going to have a lot to say. And somebody asked me if you can call in internationally to that number, and yeah, you can call our number internationally. I just don't know what extra numbers you have to push to get to a United States number. So yeah, it should work no matter what. So there's your answer. But okay, guys, let's take one last commercial break. On the other side of this commercial break, I'm going to instantly start my conversation with the Botch guy. So everyone buckle up, and I will be talking to you on Tuesday. Let's take a break for the sponsor of the show.
So here's something that I bet you don't think about a lot. That's your grip strength. You know, we use our grip strength for so many different things during the day that I don't think we realize how important it is, and how important it is to not just realize we're using it, but to strengthen it. Having good grip strength can mean the difference between falling and not falling, being able to hold on to that item, or dropping it. And you know what else really good grip strength does? It creates a great first impression. Have you ever met someone for the first time and they give you that dead fish hand? That is not a great way to make a good first impression. So why don't you take care of your grip strength? Check out Grip Sanity. You may be asking, what is Grip Sanity? Well, it's an all-in-one device. It's easy to change handles. It'll have your forearms burning in minutes. It'll improve your grip strength, of course, but it's very convenient because you can take it with you anywhere. There's no clunky, you know, equipment that you have to bring with you. So if you're wondering what this is and you want to learn out more information, go to gsanity.com and check out Grip Sanity. Look at the testimonials. It's one of those things, guys, that I don't think people really even notice or realize maybe they have an issue until they have a problem. So get ahead of it. Go to Grip Sanity. Check out gsanity.com. That's their website that you can look at the product. You can check out. There's tons of different colors, and you can find the one that suits you. So again, go out and check Grip Sanity. The website is gsanity.com.
All right, well, it is time to talk Royal Rumble, the 2021 Royal Rumble. And as I speak, about 30 minutes ago, 40 minutes ago, WWE Network went off the air with Edge claiming the men's 2021 Royal Rumble with the corporate requirement to point at the WrestleMania sign, as everybody just incessantly does because corporate says you have to do it, and Edge obliged by the requirement. Nonetheless, Edge is our victor on the men's side, but here to talk to all of you guys about this. You guys know him. You love when he comes on. I love when he comes on, and he's one of the best, biggest YouTubers, fastest growing YouTubers in terms of wrestling content. He is lightning quick getting content up, especially throughout the Royal Rumble. I mean, I literally blinked and his content was up with reactions. It was great. You guys know him. He's the Botch guy. He's here to talk Royal Rumble. How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, Matt? Man, I'm happy to be here with you. But you gotta admit though, that was some really nice pointing skills there, from Edge. Like that was really immaculate, like the way he did it. So I gotta give him credit. A little bit better than other past years, but it was very good form. You know, he had a good body. You know, everything was perfect there. Oh, by the way, what's going on, guys?
No, that is true. He did it. At least he didn't stand on the second rope like everyone else seems to do and point at it. He had his own, like, you know, hand gestures that he does. So it was like a customized point to the WrestleMania sign. So people are like, what the hell are you talking about? The pointing, let's get to the Rumble. But I do want to point that out, pun intended. Okay, so let's talk about Edge's win, because Edge right now, he came back after being gone for 8 months, after the greatest wrestling match ever with Randy Orton at Backlash, I think it was, back in May. He returns. He doesn't immediately target Orton, although they're number one and number two, and Edge ends up winning the whole thing. So did you see this coming? Like, what was your prediction? Are you shocked? What are you thinking right now?
It was definitely interesting, and I do apologize. I forgot to mention my channel. I am the Botch guy on YouTube. I do like parodies, reactions, and other lovely stuff like that. So I forgot to mention that to myself, I guess, than to anything. But honestly, the whole Edge winning thing, like, okay, so going into this pay-per-view, I was pretty certain he was going to win. The moment he was the first one out, I was 100% certain he was going to win. But then they started doing that Randy Orton stuff in the middle of the match. And when he left and he came back temporarily near the very, very end with the RKO and everything, I was like, oh my God, Randy Orton is going to win this. And I thought just the fact that he reversed it, the fact that Edge won after so long, he's obviously well-loved in the industry. He's obviously well-loved by a lot of the fans. I had absolutely no problem whatsoever with Edge winning. I would actually go out and say that they chose the right winner. I would say the only other person I could see that would won that got a similar reaction would be someone like Daniel Bryan. What do you think?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. And actually, Daniel Bryan was my pick, and he was Vegas odds pick. And I was a little bit shocked that Edge was the actual winner because it didn't seem like Edge was in the position to be, at this stage in his career, at his age, that he would be a guy to main event WrestleMania. You know, he just feels like he's, I don't want to say passe, I don't want to say, you know, he's not in shape. He certainly is. He's in better shape than probably most of the guys on the roster. But the problem is that it just felt like it wasn't about the championship for Edge. It didn't feel like it was about the championship. But to me, that he didn't really ever close the circle on the Randy Orton program. He just kind of popped back on the scene. And you remember his promo when he left, he was talking about, you know, Orton, you brought something out of me that's been hidden deep beneath the surface and all this. And you know, the rated R superstar is back. And, you know, you better watch yourself when I come back because I'm not Adam Copeland. I'm not Edge. I'm the rated R superstar. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be great when he comes back. Well, fast forward 7-8 months. Here we are. And they were number one and number two, and they had some interaction. But I thought for sure they would go back to those two finally coming full circle, having their maybe I Quit match or whatever at WrestleMania. And that doesn't seem to be the case whatsoever. It seems like they are going in opposite directions for these two come WrestleMania. But yeah, as far as the reactions go with Daniel Bryan, you know, I thought Daniel Bryan would win. Do I think he was the right person to win? Does he have that magic like he did in 2014, 2015? No. I think the haircut doesn't help him. I mean, it just doesn't. He looks kind of like a goof.
You're not a big fan of about the slide cut there?
No, man. I haven't. My other co-host that I just talked to yesterday, Michael Gross, brought up a good point. He looks like The Miz. That's like a Miz haircut, right? Like, it does not suit him well at all. It doesn't. I don't know. And the whole underdog story is long gone for Daniel Bryan, but you do have that sympathy of like kind of the good old days when, you know, you got behind him and you forced the company, you forced their hand for WrestleMania. So there are some good feelings and retro feelings for him, but do I think he's the right man? I don't know. We could still get there. We could still get a Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, but I think probably Edge is going to choose Roman Reigns in my estimation. But
well, that interesting thing about this. So I have two thoughts on that. So the first thing is, you know, I was pretty certain Daniel Bryan, there was a chance, but I thought he was not going to win just because of the, you know, he had that interview where he's saying he's going to be transitioning to a part-timer. And I don't think he has he's a different cachet guy. Like when a Brock Lesnar is a part-timer, like there's something, you don't really get too mad at it because it's Brock Lesnar. You know, or Daniel Bryan has more of like a full-time type persona. It's going to be weird to kind of just see him on and off. And he said he's after WrestleMania, he is going to be a part-timer. So that's one reason. I thought maybe it wouldn't have worked, even though technically Edge is also a part-timer. So who knows? As for the whole Edge situation, who is he going to face now? This is the thing that really makes me think that something's going to be set up here on either on Monday Night Raw or on SmackDown based on who he's going after, because I have no idea what they're going to do with Edge here, because you could have done it. You could have had a tag team with him and Christian, for example. You could have, like, before he won, like you could have done a lot of the stuff with Randy Orton, like you said, and I Quit Matt, something like that at WrestleMania. And now he has the championship, now he's going for the championship. And it's like, just like you said, like, he doesn't need it, right? Like, I understand he's going to go after it, but like what happens now? Like, what's the marquee match? Like, does that mean either Roman Reigns or Drew McIntyre is going to lose at the next pay-per-view before WrestleMania? Like, because I'm thinking, like, where is the match? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'm thinking about it. And yes, we have Drew McIntyre holding the belt. And I think that Drew McIntyre will hold the belt through WrestleMania, just as I think Roman will. I don't see either of those guys dropping the belt before WrestleMania. Yes, we have Elimination Chamber. Yes, we have Fastlane. So there's two pay-per-views, of course. That's a lot can change in two pay-per-views. I mean, there's another one in 3 weeks, and then 4 weeks after that, and then 2 weeks after that is WrestleMania. I already looked at this. So I think that, you know, both guys should hold the belts to WrestleMania. But like you said, Edge doesn't feel like he needs the belt. I'm glad. It's a feel-good story. I understand the symmetry of 11 years to the day he won the Royal Rumble, you know, in 2010. I understand that. And it's very nice and it's very symmetrical. And it makes, you know, brings a tear to a glass eye, as Jim Ross would say. But it doesn't, to me, really warrant in 2021 Edge capturing a WWE or Universal Championship, because we're, even if he goes there and wins it, okay, then what? Does he just kind of pop in every few months to defend it? Or does he just end up losing at WrestleMania? I don't see the big picture payoff. But if you're going to put me on the spot and ask me Drew or Roman, I mean, I would say Roman Reigns, simply for the fact that I don't think people want to see Drew McIntyre versus Edge. You have two beloved superstars, one of yesteryear, one of the current. You don't want those two facing one another. You'd rather have Edge face Roman Reigns. Is there a big story there? No, they have no history whatsoever that I'm aware of, since they were wrestling in two different eras, essentially. But if you're going to ask me, I would put Roman Reigns and Edge. I'm sure they can cut great promos. I'd love to see Edge's promos against Roman Reigns and Roman Reigns back at him. But I don't know. That's my thought. I think both keep it, and I think you get Roman Reigns and Edge at WrestleMania as it stands right now.
Great. I don't know, man. Like, I agree with you, like, completely. I have very little interest as of right now of seeing Edge versus Roman Reigns, because I feel like there's only a specific amount of people that should beat Roman Reigns, and I don't think Edge is one of them. I truly, truly do not think that. But I can see the WWE going in that direction. I absolutely can definitely see it. But I don't know. I'm not feeling it whatsoever. Again, I don't mind the win, but I just don't think it was necessary.
And I think, yeah, no, I'm totally feeling you. It's because we're starting with a blank slate. We've got nothing for these two, number one. Like, we don't know what their backstories are, if there's any heat with them whatsoever. Like, to me, fans look at this and go, okay, cool, we have a hot baby face, we have a really hot heel. That's always a good combination on paper, but there's no substance yet. There's no backstory. They don't have any history that I'm aware of. So where do you go? And like you said, is Edge really the one to beat Roman Reigns? I would argue no as well. And the reason is, you want somebody who you can build the company on to beat Roman Reigns for that championship, not Edge, who's going to come back. And it's a feel-good story. It's great. But where do you go with from there? Because it's not helping build future talent. It's just kind of, yes, you're helping Roman Reigns, who is a younger talent, but he's not the youngest version of the WWE roster right now that you can continue to build. So I'm with you on that part of it. It's like, okay, cool, but how does this help the younger talent? So
let me just quickly say, yeah, like, they had an opportunity tonight, because this Royal Rumble was so open. Like, no one really knew who was going to win this one. It was one of the more open Royal Rumbles in, like, recent history. And when I mean open, you know what I mean by that. Like really, every year you kind of have your main guys. But, like, this year I felt like really anybody could have won. I think they had an opportunity here to get a guy who, in my opinion, is a future massive star in the company, in Karrion Kross. I felt like he has a nice persona. I think if he won that Royal Rumble today out of nowhere, he would build him up nicely. And if he beat Roman Reigns, it would be something just insane. But that's a big risk. But I think it's a risk, because if you think or a risk worth taking, the reason I say something like that, like, I know it sounds kind of crazy, but, you know, Drew McIntyre, like, he wasn't really anybody special when he came back. Like, he had his kind of a couple decent moments, but he didn't really elevate himself until after he won that Royal Rumble. And remember, he was with 3MP and all Jinder Mahal and all them. So that's why I just feel like they had an opportunity to really create a star, and they kind of just went with the safe route by going with someone they like. So that's my two cents on that.
It was a safe choice. And I think WWE is, since there was so much fan backlash in previous years, with especially 2014, 2015, of who won the Royal Rumble and all of the fan outrage, that they're a little gun shy to ever have a heel win the Royal Rumble again. I mean, like, they are, I think, a little bit shy of not allowing a babyface to win the Royal Rumble, because to me it is a match designed for a babyface to win, just like a Money in the Bank ladder match is a match designed for a heel to win. There are certain parameters of matches that favor babyfaces and heels, and I think babyfaces generally should win Royal Rumbles because you want a hot, long-standing heel champion going into WrestleMania. And you have that up-and-coming rising star that wins the Royal Rumble. But the problem is, this year, we get Edge. And I love Edge. That's the problem, is it sounds like I'm complaining. I am a massive Edge fan. Like, watching last year's Royal Rumble, when he came out at number 21, still gives me chills watching it. So, like, I am a massive Edge fan. So I don't want to say I'm complaining. But at the same time, I'm also looking to the future of the company. And is this really the best for the belt? Is it the best to build talent? And that's where I'm having a bit of a problem. So,
yeah, justified. Yeah. It's completely justified what you're saying. I can't wholeheartedly agree more.
All right. Well, we'll come back to the Men's Royal Rumble, towards the end of our conversation here, because I do want to get into detail about some of the things that happened in the Men's Rumble and
what did not happen.
Yeah. Or yeah, exactly. What did not happen. And there are several things that people thought would happen that I thought were certainly shoo-ins to happen. Others were very, very long shots. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But I want to start out with the pre-show. And I mean, is it surprising that they put the Women's Tag Team Championships on the pre-show? I don't think it's a shock that they put the Women's Tag Team Championships on the beginning of the pre-show. But we have Ric Flair once again interject himself, cost his daughter the Women's Tag Team Championships because Lacey Evans distracted him, but Ric Flair's also there. And so Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler are Women's Tag Team Champions again. And so what do you think about this?
You know, I've said this before, and I'll say this again. I cannot see Charlotte Flair as a face ever. Like, I don't care what they do. I don't care. Like, honestly, she's such a natural heel. She kind of reminds me of The Miz, right? The Miz, you know, you can't see him as a face. It doesn't work. And with Charlotte Flair, you know, they're trying to, you know, do this whole Lacey Evans weird creeper stuff with Ric Flair. And honestly, it's just like, It gives me no emotion. You know what I mean? Like, I'm supposed to get this emotion from this situation, but like the only emotion it gets me is like, I don't really want to see Ric Flair on my TV anymore. Like, that's the only emotion I want to get. And honestly, the match itself, I'll be honest, like I didn't even know what was going on really. But I think changing the titles at least makes sense. You do not need the tag team championship on Charlotte Flair. She is, I don't want to say too good or too big for it, but like, it's not for her. Like, she's a singles competitor that I think should stay that way. I don't know.
No, don't be afraid. Like, let's all be honest. Charlotte Flair is bigger than the Women's Tag Team Championships, but that doesn't mean that she can't carry it and add value to the belts, which I'm fine with. You know, look what John Cena did with the United States Championship. Many would think that, you know, he was above that, or, you know, taking that was a demotion. But in fact, it did more for the United States Championship than it had ever been valued before. So I think
Do you think that Charlotte Flair added value to the tag team championship?
I would say very little. And the only reason is because they didn't hold on to it very long and they didn't focus on it very much. It's been all about Ric Flair and Lacey Evans. So they could have. Her and Asuka could have, but it's been, you know, for the few weeks that they held it, I don't think they've added a ton. Some. They didn't do damage. I mean, it's very hard to damage the Women's Tag Team Championships that are, in terms of the pecking order, just above the 24/7 championship that Peter Rosenberg ended up winning. I mean, so, oh, God. Yeah, that's a thing. And I actually listened to him and Michael Kay and all them on the radio show that they do, and it's preposterous, but nonetheless. So I don't think they did damage to the belts. I think they added some value to it. And we all know what WWE really thinks about tag team championships, much less the Women's Tag Team Championship. So it doesn't surprise me this is on the pre-show. I'm fine with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler recapturing the belts because it is time for Charlotte to go in a singles role. Like you said, she feels so awkward as a face. She never feels real. How can you call yourself the queen and be a babyface and tell people to bow down to you? You can't. It's kind of like Sasha Banks. And I'll get to her too, but yeah.
Let me say this. I don't know how much damage you could do to the 24/7 championship when you had a gobbledygooker as the 24/7 champion. Oh my God. So I think that was kind of the moment. I don't know. The chickens laid their rest, huh? No, I guess the rooster, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's, oh my God, that is very true. I mean, they've had everyone, Maria Kanellis. I mean, I'm thinking of all these random people off the top of my head that have captured the belt. I think it was
Kelly.
Gronkowski. Yeah, Kelly. God almighty. Yeah, I mean, at some point, I just want this belt to die. I don't know. That belt is, it's not even comedic to me anymore. Love R-Truth.
Let me interrupt you here, okay? If the WWE...
I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Hey, Matt, I really like your podcast there. You know what? On your podcast, I'm gonna let you pin R-Truth and become the new 24/7 champion. Well, I'll be honest, Matt, you'd be marking out like a little baby.
You're damn right I would. I mean, there's a difference between analyzing it as a fan and being involved. When you're involved, you know, you're getting a paycheck. I mean, who the hell cares? But when you're having to sit through and watch it, it's painful. I mean, being in it is one thing. So yeah, of course. I mean, you could say, oh, it's hypocritical, but who wouldn't want to be on WWE TV, even in a comedic, embarrassing role for a championship that means less than the one that you buy at, like, you know, Toys R Us? Whatever. I would do it, of course. I don't think there's anybody in the sound of my voice that, as much as we all hate that championship and think it's embarrassing, would not want to be involved in that. But that's true.
What's funny about it is it started off so well, actually. It started, like, when they brought it out the first time, I was laughing. But then the first month was so funny. Like, it was really good writing. And then it was all downhill from there.
Yes. I'm with you on that, because I do remember that. And it was actually introduced by Mick Foley right here in my hometown in New York. And so I remember that. And at the beginning, it was interesting. And I said to myself, I was like, this has got a really short shelf life, though. I said, it's going to be fun for a while, but they are going to do everything under the sun, preposterous stuff that is just, you know, not even comedic anymore. It'll just be eye-rollingly embarrassing. And it's gotten to that point, but R-Truth is the just incumbent champion that is going to hold it until he's in the grave. I don't think they'll ever, at least in the foreseeable future, get rid of it. It's the PG version of the hardcore championship is all it is, and they just don't know when to say die with it. So whatever, it's a comedic, it's an immediate plug and play, quote, comedic relief. And I say that in air quotes because it's very, very subjective that it's comedy. Of course, it's Vince's comedy, but they know they can plug it in and add that something for everyone to the show. So, oh, God. Okay, let's get to something a little more serious, and that is Goldberg and Drew McIntyre. Take it away.
Oh, you're giving this one to me right off the bat, eh, man?
I'm going to start throwing haymakers here. Go ahead.
Okay, so I don't know. Okay, let's just get the monkey off the bat. Goldberg lost. Okay, so that's good. Okay, so like right there, you know, the fact that Goldberg lost and Drew McIntyre won, that makes me happy. Now, as for the match itself, it was just another spam finisher fest, kind of with counters. And, you know, they did the outside spot with the barricade. Like, I don't know how many times you could do the barricade spot. But you know what they're thinking, right? Because like, they did different locations of the barricade. So Vince, you know, is probably like, oh, you know, we've done it near the chairs where the announcer tables are. But how about we haven't done it on the left side near the steps? You know, let's do it over there. Or then on Monday Night Raw, let's do it on the top right corner near the other side of the steps around the camera angle. Oh, that would be brilliant. You know, they've done this now for so much, right? So I don't know. I thought Goldberg looked exhausted during his entrance. Like, seriously, when he came out, I thought he might have like I don't know. Like, he did you not notice that? Like, he looked exhausted.
Yeah.
And the match didn't even start yet.
No. I said that to myself out loud. I'm like, what is he doing in his locker room before the security that he doesn't need comes and knocks on his door? Like, I mean, I'm sure he's doing, and look, he's 50 some years old. I'm sure he has to do more warming up than the average, you know, superstar who's probably like 30 or upper 20s, 30. Of course, he's going to have to do a lot more to get his body fluid and all that kind of stuff. Admittedly, he's in insane shape. I give him all the credit in the world for that. I'm not taking that away from him at all. But he looked absolutely exhausted. Like, he was sweating profusely, like he'd already gone through a 20-minute match on his way to the ring. So that was a sign right there. But you know what you're going to get with this match. You know that this is exactly what it was billed to be. People were saying to me, oh, well, you know, maybe Goldberg's going to pull out, you know, some actual moves. He's going to get beyond the jackhammer and the spear. I said, no, he's not. And no, he's not. What has he shown us the last 4 years since he's returned? The answer is spear, jackhammer. I think I saw a clothesline once. So you know what you're going to get with Goldberg. It's the same formula every time. And that almost botched or kind of half botched jackhammer that he did on Drew McIntyre. Luckily, Drew McIntyre is obviously a much better shape physically than The Undertaker was, so we didn't have to worry about, you know, hopefully any kind of catastrophic injury. But every time he pulls somebody up from the jackhammer now, I hold my damn breath. I don't know about you.
You know, yes. Yes, I do. I thought it was saved so well by Drew, or I don't know if it was by Drew, but I thought they saved it. I thought it looked okay that you could show it on replay. Like, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't like Undertaker versus Goldberg bad.
Or The Fiend.
I thought, and The Fiend too. And the fact that he got him, it was The Fiend, sorry. The fact that he got him up pretty high, like, I was impressed, to be honest. So it wasn't that bad. Honestly, the match, like, for a Goldberg match, I don't think it was that bad. Like, it was okay, right? Like, for a Goldberg match, I think it was okay. Like, that's the way I would describe it.
I would agree with you, because it's exactly what you'd expect. It's nothing more. It wasn't anything less. It was just exactly as it was as advertised. It was spear, jackhammer, claymore, kick out, kick out, kick out, kick out, pin. And that's exactly the way I thought it was going to go. It's exactly the way that it went. It's as if whenever Goldberg comes out, it's a 8-year-old boy who's playing WWE 2K whatever and has all the finishers ready to go and just hits finisher, finisher, finisher on you. It's literally like a little child holding a video game controller when Goldberg comes out, because there's no variety. It's just all do the big moves. And Drew McIntyre won. I was saying for weeks and weeks on my show, I said, I don't know, guys, you may want to look out, because Goldberg seemingly is being laid for the foundation to win the championship, because they kept drilling into our heads that this is the one championship that's eluded him, this is the one championship that's eluded him, and in the past, we've seen that set the foundation for, oh, it's going to be a big moment when they win, and then they win, and you're like, oh, well, we see what they were doing. So I was very concerned about that, which now leads me to, you know, what are they going to do with Goldberg? Does Goldberg just kind of fade into the distance, or do they have something possibly lined up for him at WrestleMania, God forbid?
You know what's weird? Like, with Edge winning the Royal Rumble, like, if Goldberg faced Roman Reigns for the title at WrestleMania, like, is it terrible to say that it is actually more of a properly booked match than the Edge potential matchup? Like, I know they haven't started the whole Edge thing, but at least they've been teasing this Goldberg Reigns thing for so long now that I feel like I felt like there actually was a chance somehow that Goldberg was going to win, and maybe a championship versus championship match or something stupid like that. But to answer your question, I don't know what they're going to do with him. Okay. John Cena is the only thing that, if you just want a couple of legends to kind of go at it for fun at WrestleMania for fun, like, literally just for fun, then you could do that. But other than that, I just don't see, like, Goldberg lost the luster. He doesn't, like, if he already lost to Drew here. So he doesn't have that elevation like he had before. Like, at least this one kind of elevated Drew, I guess. Right. So I don't feel he has that anymore. So all you could do is kind of like a filler type match with John Cena or something stupid like that. But I think he should just retire. I think it's, we've seen enough of Goldberg. I don't know. What do you think?
I think we've seen enough of Goldberg since he beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, and we're like, okay, great, now he can go away, and he just does not go away. And I don't know what it is with the fascination with Goldberg, with Vince McMahon, and his just somehow in his brain thinking that, oh my God, Goldberg's a needle mover. He's going to get eyeballs on the product. We're going to, you know, ratings are going to spike. It's great for the product. It's great for the talent. It's not great for anyone. Nobody can make a case to me in 2021 that Goldberg is a draw in wrestling right now, because even those that go, oh, it's Goldberg, he's been back in WWE for, what, 3-4 years now? We know what we're going to get from Goldberg. There's zero variety. He doesn't cut good promos. He's very, very generic. Or I said,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Matt, you don't like his promo work? I think his promo work's actually one of the shining things of him.
Other than You're Next, other than, you know, a couple of 1-2-liners, he's I have yet to ever have Goldberg cut a promo where I actually feel something. I mean, Goldberg, he was the right guy in the right place at the right time in WCW in the late 90s, no doubt about it. But you stick him in a product today that is the complete opposite of what Goldberg does in a match, which is just high-impact moves, finishers, and there's no variety, no chance to tell a story. It's just very one-dimensional. And I think, again, lack of promo ability. When has Goldberg ever cut something that is beyond 30 seconds?
I mean, let me say that this might be the first time I ever disagreed with you. When he came back the first time with the and he cut a promo on Brock Lesnar, right? Or just like the Who's Next or whatever one, the initial return promo, like the very first time he came back, that was an awesome promo, and he had so much intensity. He made the back room locker room like look like pathetic compared to how much intensity that guy had when he cut that promo. I thought that was easily the best promo of his career.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a hell of a promo. I talked some bad stuff about Goldberg in the past, but I'll tell you what, man, that program with Brock Lesnar initially, and the fact when he won that match, like, I marked out and I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was perfectly, but I liked Goldberg when that initial return happened. I'm
with you. I did too. I thought that, and I know the promo you're talking about. He talked about he came back for his kid. He never got to see him wrestle. I understand all that. That was coming from a real place. I totally get it. And that was the one time. But when I'm talking about regular promos where he comes out, beyond that one time, he just doesn't make me feel it. Anyway, I think the Goldberg-Drew match was exactly what it was billed to be. I think the right person won. I was about, you know, I think Twitter would have imploded in upon itself had Goldberg beat Drew McIntyre in that match. And I actually thought once he hit the jackhammer that he actually was going to win, because that kick out was brilliant by Drew McIntyre. It was brilliantly done at the very last possible fraction of a second that Drew McIntyre got his shoulder up. So I think that Drew did what he could. Goldberg lost. I don't know where he goes from here. He did tease on the bump about a month and a half ago that Roman Reigns, you're next. They obviously didn't get their match last year because of COVID and Roman Reigns bowing out for safety reasons with his family. Totally understand. But I think that you could get a Goldberg and Roman Reigns main event this year because they didn't get to it last year. Goldberg alluded to it for this year, and Goldberg could just insert himself back in the championship picture, which I would be very, very careful with, because I would love to see if there's going to be fans, and there rumors are there's going to be at least limited capacity fans at WrestleMania where they actually get to hear a real voice and not just playing God with all these reactions that they can just press a button and go, ah, this is great, we can just do what we want. They're going to get a big wake-up call when Roman Reigns possibly gets cheered against Goldberg at WrestleMania. Could you see that happening, you know, if that does indeed take place?
Oh, just don't do it to me, man. Because, like, it makes sense in, like, when it comes to, like, how they've been booking it. Doesn't mean because they've been booking it kind of like that, or at least teasing it like that, does not mean it's a good thing to do. You know what I mean? Like, just because Vince thinks is teasing it does not make it a good thing to do. And this is definitely one of those moments. Just leave it alone. Like, leave Goldberg alone, man. He has a good entrance. Uh-huh. Okay. Like, that's good enough. Like, go home, Goldberg.
Yeah. Go home. I mean, yeah, it's over. And speaking of go home, let's go to the next match here, because we have Sasha Banks and we have Carmella for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I'll take this one first. I'll be honest, I was a little bit disappointed in the quality of this match. It wasn't a bad match. I'm not going to rant on this match. I think the effort was there. And perhaps it's just because of the limitations of Carmella, who I think has actually improved since she returned. I liked her new persona, albeit it's sort of one-dimensional right now. I've always liked Carmella's promos. Sasha Banks, you know what you're going to get there. And the match, I think, was fine, but I don't want it to be fine. I wanted it to be really good. And maybe you have a different thought on this, but yes, Sasha Banks won. I think Sasha winning was the right move as well. Retaining the SmackDown Women's Championship going into WrestleMania, I think that was the right move, because obviously with Bianca Belair and possibilities there, is certainly better of a matchup in terms of marquee than Carmella versus Bianca Belair. But, I think Sasha Banks and Carmella, I hate to say underdelivered, because Sasha Banks is so good. Carmella is improving, but it felt short. It felt like Carmella was possibly the limiting factor in this, and Sasha Banks gets the tap out. And Reginald is there to just take bumps, you know, from women, you know, every 5 minutes. I mean, Reginald just cannot defend himself, and I understand they're never going to do it because it's man-on-woman violence, but it's okay for the women to hit the men. They just can't retaliate. Reginald is just there as just this sommelier who can do flips and flops and do these insane gymnastics but can't defend himself against women. I think that this, again, was underwhelming is the most professional way I can say. A little bit disappointing. Not bad, just kind of like, okay, just fine. What did you think? Maybe you thought something else. So here's something that I bet you don't think about a lot. That's your grip strength. You know, we use our grip strength for so many different things during the day that I don't think we realize how important it is, and how important it is to not just realize we're using it, but to strengthen it. Having good grip strength can mean the difference between falling and not falling, being able to hold on to that item, or dropping it. And you know what else really good grip strength does? It creates a great first impression. Have you ever met someone for the first time and they give you that dead fish hand? That is not a great way to make a good first impression. So why don't you take care of your grip strength? Check out Grip Sanity. You may be asking, what is Grip Sanity? Well, it's an all-in-one device. It's easy to change handles. It'll have your forearms burning in minutes. It'll improve your grip strength, of course, but it's very convenient because you can take it with you anywhere. There's no clunky, you know, equipment that you have to bring with you. So if you're wondering what this is and you want to learn out more information, go to gsanity.com and check out Grip Sanity. Look at the testimonials. It's one of those things, guys, that I don't think people really even notice or realize maybe they have an issue until they have a problem. So get ahead of it. Go to Grip Sanity. Check out gsanity.com. That's their website that you can look at the product. You can check out. There's tons of different colors, and you can find the one that suits you. So again, go out and check Grip Sanity. The website is gsanity.com.
I agree with you that Carmella is doing some of the best work she's ever done, as in like a gimmick purposes. I think her aneurysms and the way she like screams in the ring, I'm actually very believable. Just like, I just think she's actually kind of funny, to be honest. It's kind of like the Iconics when they're in the middle of the ring and they're just kind of screaming and joking around, but she's doing it in a more serious tone, obviously. I don't know. I don't think the match was as good as their last match they had. I thought their last match was significantly better. I don't think they performed at the same standard, but I just feel like Carmella has been, she's getting better. Like she legitimately is. Like, I remember watching Carmella even when she was winning some of those championships back in the Ellsworth days, and she wasn't winning like because she was wrestling that well. It was always like some sort of really heavy storyline driven thing. And now I actually think she's improved at a pretty significant scale that I actually don't mind having a belt on her eventually one day again. And I actually feel like Carmella's done a pretty good job. As for the match, again, it was okay. I agree with the Reginald stuff. You're spot on that. There's not really much to add on that. But I feel like Carmella does have a pretty decent future moving forward in this gimmick. I never thought it would be the case.
And I'm thinking, too, maybe, you know, with all the time in months and in really years that Carmella spent with R-Truth and kind of a comedy side act and the breakdance and all that stuff or whatever she did, you know, she obviously wasn't in ring in her own storyline competing with the women. You know, she was just kind of the sidekick for a while, which I think while she was doing that, you know, everyone else seemed to kind of race ahead of her. So she could be playing catch up right now where she wasn't really used in a role that would allow her to expand in the ring. And she's trying to rush back and really get up to speed. So I'm a Carmella fan. I think she needs to add more layers other than just the obnoxious, I'm better than you blonde that drinks champagne. It's like, okay, and I've said this before for my listeners, you know, that I'm fine with that. That's a nice foundation, but you got to give me more than just that. Like, that's a good start. And I think she just needs to add more to that than just the, okay, I'm a blonde that's obnoxious and I'm better than you. Like, okay, great, but yeah, Let's do more. And in ring, you and I are on the same page. I think that she has improved. It's just, it just wasn't the greatest match that they've had before. I've seen better matches, as you said, between Sasha Banks and Carmella. And it wasn't a stinker. It wasn't like eye rolling. It wasn't embarrassing. It was just kind of like, oh, you know, you expected that to be like, oh, really? That's it? Like, I just kind of like, I was just a little bit disappointed, a little bit. You know, so that's kind of how I felt about it. But the right person won. And now it's time to move on. I want to move on to the Women's Royal Rumble because there's a lot moving on here, a lot going on here. I will say this. Let me start with the finish of that match. Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley. I tweeted this out too. I said, that was a hell of a finish. Regardless of what you thought about the 95% of the match, I think that ending to that match could have easily ended the show. I think it was a better finish than the Men's Royal Rumble in terms of like, in terms of just what was going on in the ring, the story they were telling, the back and forth, the, oh my God, who's going to win? Who's going to win? The men's was just kind of like matter of fact. Oh, Edge wins. You know, Edge did RKO, or he got RKO'd and then he somehow no-sold it. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But I think the women's could have easily ended the show because of how good Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair were. They were so good together. And I know a lot of people pick Rhea Ripley. She certainly has evolved since the last time we saw her, but,
this was really good. And I think that you saw real emotion from Bianca Belair in that interview with Charlie Caruso, or not Charlie Caruso, the other girl. I can't remember her name. Forgive me. But it was great. I'm glad that we had her win. She has a big future ahead of her. They set the foundation by having her beat Bayley clean on SmackDown. Running a silly obstacle course didn't help her, but beating Bayley after what she did all summer, I think, was a great way to kind of give a hint to fans that, yeah, like, she's going to be our focus now. Like, there is something big brewing for Bianca Belair, and now we know what that is. She's main eventing WrestleMania. So we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the match, but I want your thoughts too, first about the finish between Bianca and Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, because it's two completely things I could talk about, because as for the finish, if we're just talking about Bianca winning over Rhea Ripley there, I feel like going with either of those two, like, even in one of my videos that I made, I was reacting to it. I basically said, like, it doesn't matter who wins because it's a double win. Regardless who wins that, I was going to be happy with it. And I love the story of Bianca Belair. I love how she kind of worked her way up really slowly. And then, you know, she was very raw and she's getting better and better and better. And I thought it was very an emotional promo at the very end. So I feel like they obviously wanted to push her. I think they set it up nicely last Royal Rumble, made her look strong. Held her kind of around, and obviously this moment was kind of hinted after, you know, beating Bayley clean, so clean, right? So I was really happy for it. I have a different opinion on the Royal Rumble as a whole, but I will get to that in a second. But as whole, Bianca winning, it was great. But I will say this, Rhea Ripley was my number one pick, and I think she is going to be just a massive star in this company.
Oh,
she's so good.
Even in a loss, she won here. Like, she has improved so much from the last time that we saw her, and I know that she's had a rough year, and I remember listening to a Triple H conference call with the media talking about how, you know, she's lost her confidence, and it happens, but she'll find herself, and I think Rhea Ripley has really come around and found herself. She has got such a presence. I am looking forward to, and again, Bianca Belair as well. Of course, she won, but Rhea Ripley, I think, is right at the same level as Bianca Belair in my mind of how big of a star she could be and run the women's division. But well, let's dive into the details here. Let's get into the Women's Royal Rumble. And there's so much that I could touch on. And I'll just touch on a couple things. I mean, because you could really dissect this play by play, but I don't want to be here until, you know, 3 a.m. So I will say this. My pick was Alexa Bliss. I'm sad that she didn't win, because I think Alexa Bliss was the biggest improving rising star. You know, when I say rising star, I mean probably biggest improvement from just doing the talking with Alexa Bliss or whatever she was doing, Nikki Cross, being kind of the mean girls of SmackDown, to being one of the biggest women stars in the company. With, yes, she's attached to The Fiend, but I was thinking she was going to do her little hocus pocus trick of, after she gets beat down, she summons the power of The Fiend, and that's exactly what she did, except I think it was Rhea Ripley who cut her off, which I was surprised at, and I was actually kind of pissed, because I wanted to see what that evil Alexa Bliss did to the rest of the women in the ring if she was able to transform. It's kind of like the Power Rangers, right? Like, she had her morpher, she was just about to morph, and they took it out of her hands. I'm a big Power Rangers fan from back in the 90s, if you couldn't tell. But
I was going to use a Dragon Ball Ultra.
Well, there you go.
Reference.
Yeah. I mean, pick your analogy. As a 90s kid, Power Rangers comes to mind. But I was a little bit disappointed about Alexa Bliss, just because I'm such a big fan of her, and I was waiting to see her transform, and she was so close, and Rhea Ripley cut her off at the pass. So that was one thing. I mean, this as a whole, this Royal Rumble was really an exposure of how shallow the women's division is. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I mean that in, like, a truly numbers way. Because you had how many, quote, legends? I say legends very loosely, because you had Alicia Fox grouped into that Legends Raw. And they called her a legend when they came out. I mean, I don't know how you say Alicia Fox is a legend with a straight face. I don't know how you say it. But this brought back so many women of yesteryear to fill the holes to get to 30. That it really was a telltale sign of that the women need more. They need more numbers. They need more credible stars on NXT and on Raw. So bringing back so many stars from yesterday that you know aren't going to win, have zero chance in the Rumble, that are there to fill a spot, bring back some nice nostalgia and say, oh, it's generation versus generation. It's kind of cool. Like, okay, yeah, it's neat. It's a nice quick little feeling, but it's passing. It doesn't stick around because it's not real. You know they don't have a chance. So those are my thoughts overall. I know you could pick apart a lot of other things, so your turn.
Well, maybe they need an invasion angle or something to get some of these girls down there, because there is some really talented female wrestlers on the NXT roster, some of the best in the world. So I don't know what you could do to kind of help that, but I agree there. I would disagree on the whole Alexa Bliss winning. I think, honestly, the transformation, I think that's a very scary slope that you're doing. The fact is, if she won Royal Rumble going all, you know, transforming, she shouldn't ever be able to lose, because she literally dodges punches by just people throwing them, and she can dodge people punches without even looking. Like, she turns into like a Goku character, like honestly, like an anime character basically. And I think she would be way too overpowered for anybody in the female division to even touch her. And I think that's probably why they didn't have her transform, because like, think about how bad they would have to make everybody look just to make Alexa Bliss look good, which she already looks good anyway. And I feel like it would be too broken, too overpowered. I don't know what you call it. Maybe we can come up with a name for the transformation. Who knows? But that's a very scary slope to deal with, because Alexa Bliss, I understand it storyline wise, but I just feel like, I'm not going to say they need to go away from it, but I think they need to be careful that they don't overdo it too much, because of how strong that transformation really is. Because again, like, you want to make the female wrestlers look strong, and you can't make them look strong if they're just getting one shot by Alexa Bliss every 2 seconds or dodging everything. So, as for the actual Royal Rumble match as a whole, I'll be honest. Like, if I'm going to be completely honest, I thought it was pretty average to awful. I didn't like it. I honestly thought the pace was slow. I didn't like the returns. I didn't think the legends were anything too impressive. Like, there's a few that did a pretty good job, but I don't feel like there was anything that made me wow. Like, the entire time I was thinking, man, like, is Ronda gonna come out, or is, you know, AJ Lee gonna come out? Like, is there someone with a name? Even Trish Stratus, I'll take, you know, like, just someone with a name, like, to come out and make this somewhat interesting. And again, they went with the right, like, winners, as in like Rhea Belair type situation, but I just don't feel the Rumble itself was very good. There was a lot of botches. And I think the female wrestlers as a whole done way better in the past. I don't think they had a good night. And one final note on Bianca Belair, like, she had a good night, obviously, because she won. But I don't think she was that smooth in the ring either. Like, she had a lot of weird kind of spots there in between. So I don't know, man. I wasn't a big fan of the female Royal Rumble this year. Just this year. I wasn't.
I see what you're saying, right? Like, this was an overwhelmingly legends-filled match. And I shouldn't say legends, like, retro star match. There were a few legends in there, but you can't tell me again. Alicia Fox or Mickey James is borderline. I mean, you know, Jillian Hall, come on. I mean, so... Yeah, I mean, really.
No, you're not a fan of Jillian
Hall, if you guys remember, back in 2002, was like the statistician for JBL who had a growth on her face. And then we had, who was it? Boogeyman eat it off her face. And that's real. I mean, like, I'm not making this up. So that's what Jillian Hall is best known for. So anyway, yeah, I hear what you're saying. This was... It's hard because this was the first Rumble match. When it's the first Rumble match, you're like, oh, it's Rumble, man. This is great. And you got a positive feeling, and you're willing to kind of let things go at certain times because this is the damn Rumble. This is the Rumble. They're like, you love the Rumble. You love the format. So you're giving people passes that you normally wouldn't. And I agree. There were a lot of botches. I mean, sure, you could probably make 300 videos with how many botches there were in this match. Yeah. I mean, you could have a field day with it. But the thing is, you know, this match is difficult to navigate regardless, men or women. You have so many people in the ring.
you know, not everything's coordinated. You're filling a lot of time doing random moves to make sure you don't hit the other people that are in the ring. So everyone kind of stays in their own corner. You try to stay away from the middle of the ring. You know, it gets awkward. It gets awkward in men and women, women's Rumble matches. So, yeah, this wasn't particularly great. I think this was just kind of, yeah, it wasn't good. It was okay. I'd give it okay. You'd give it a pretty solid thumbs down. Average, I'd give it kind of a thumbs in the middle.
5 out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I'd give it, five, maybe a 5.5, 6, because it didn't showcase a lot of the younger talent the way I thought it would in terms of, like, the middle of the match, the meat of the match. Yes, the ending was great. I loved it. But in terms of how they got there wasn't the smoothest. So I was glad to see Toni Storm. That was good. I'm a huge Toni Storm fan. Especially from what she did a couple of years ago at the Evolution pay-per-view. That really opened my eyes to Toni Storm. That's really the first time I got laid eyes on Toni Storm. I mean, we did get some NXT stars in there, Dakota Kai, right? Like, we did get stars from NXT, but it wasn't like an influx. It wasn't like, oh my God, here they come. It was sprinkled in NXT with a large helping of retro stars and some of today's stars. It was just proportionally bizarre. I think that's what a lot of it was. And yes, we have legends that return every year, but this was overwhelming, I think. And it was an exposure of WWE either not trusting the women that they have in NXT in terms of a large amount of them to come into the Rumble, or they just were like, well, it's going to be more interesting if the legends come out. People want to see the legends. Well, no, not all the time. I mean, so, and, you know, we got Lana returning. There's that too. Ember Moon, right? So,
Lana eliminating Nia Jax, yeah. Right? That happened. So that's good. The continuation on the storyline there. But, like, the entire time I was just like, when Rhea Ripley came out, I was like, okay, now it starts. Now the Rumble really starts, because she has such a presence about her. I honestly, I'm not just exaggerating here. I truly believe she is going to be probably the top female wrestler in the company within like 3 years. Like, I'm that high on her. I think she's just an incredible, amazing talent. She has a persona. She has a presence. She's attractive. She's a great wrestler, and she's good on the mic. Like, she basically has everything you need in a wrestler nowadays. I think she's great, man.
I have nothing bad to say about her. I mean, I really don't. And those of you that may not watch NXT that are listening to me, I would really recommend that you just hit up the network and go and watch some of her work, because you'll see her progress. Yes, she had her match with Charlotte last year, and she wasn't really fully whole at that point. I think that even in a year's time, she has had a lot of polish on her. She's found out who and what she is at a deeper level. Her in-ring has improved. Like, she has, I think, like you said, the potential to be the biggest women's star in wrestling in like 2 to 3 years, maybe even sooner. I mean, she could be fast-tracked. Who knows? I don't think that her coming in number two really does any damage. I know a lot of people wanted her to win, but it's Bianca Belair's time. That's fine. You know, but there are other things that she could do. I mean, so I think that she is going to be called up to the roster consistently. I don't think this is a NXT and then back to NXT. I think she's actually going to be on the main roster. I hope.
Yeah. So, I think she's on the main roster. I think this was her
debut.
I guess her unofficial, official debut. I agree. I can't agree more. Like, if she won next year's Royal Rumble, would you say anything? Would you be like, oh, no, that's perfectly fine? That's what I thought she would win this year and over Bianca, just because Bianca's a little more raw than Rhea Ripley.
I know. But when you think about it, it's like, and look, I have nothing against Bianca Belair, but you're right. Like, if you put those two women together, I would look at Bianca and I'd say, you are probably a notch below, only because it feels like Rhea Ripley's a little more polished. It feels like she's got her act together a little bit more, knows who she is a little bit more. Bianca Belair is insanely athletic. She's great in the ring. Her promos aren't as good, though, I think, as Rhea Ripley. I think that's where Rhea Ripley has her, and the presence factor, the X factor of that.
Presence.
But nonetheless, I think, you know, props to Bianca.
But still a good choice.
Still a nice choice. Like you said, it's a win-win. Once you got down to those two, you're like, okay, like, let's do this. I don't care who wins. I mean, yeah, I think that's how most fans felt. Okay, moving on to Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns for the last man standing match. Oh, Lord. With not other, and this is
a good match.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it was a very good, physical as hell. I mean, you saw Roman Reigns with a swollen, busted lip. The spot off of the forklift that had just conveniently a piece of, I think it was a piece of a table there that he could jump off of and do a swanton bomb, it looked like, onto Roman Reigns. I mean, these two beat the hell out of each other. And tomorrow morning when they roll out of bed, first thing they're going to say is, oh, I mean, they put it all out there. Credit to both on the effort. But I do have to ask the botch guy about the botch because none other than the handcuffs that would not come off. So take it away, not just on the botch, but of course the match. So go ahead.
You don't want to ask me about the golf cart spot?
The golf cart.
That was brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it when he got rattled by the golf cart.
I laughed out loud, but yeah.
That was awesome. That was so good. I thought the match was great, except for the obvious god-awful ending. Okay, so, Paul Heyman, if you guys know, I'm the botch guy, okay? There's very often I cover botches and I make jokes and parodies about them. And this would have been the easiest video I've ever made in my life because Paul Heyman took 45 seconds to get the handcuffs off. Like, it was unbelievable how long it took him to get the handcuffs off. The referee was counting 3, 4, 5, 6. When the referee realized Paul Heyman couldn't figure it out, they changed the camera angle to Kevin Owens kind of leaning on the side, and the ref just straight up stopped counting. The announcers were just trying to, figure out what to say. But basically, Paul Heyman is still struggling. Like, it was another 15, 20 seconds after that where they stopped counting. And eventually, finally, Paul Heyman figured it out. Oh, my God. Like, you just know Vince was losing his mind backstage. And Roman was trying to help him. And I'm not sure if you noticed, Paul Heyman, the referee was telling him to hurry up, hurry up. Like, he was actually saying it, in between his breaths. And Roman Reigns was saying, yo, slow the count, slow the count. Because
Paul
Heyman.
I didn't hear that.
Yes. You go back, if you ever go back and watch it, just watch the refs, crank the volume and listen to the refs and Roman. Like, it's so funny, some of the stuff. And Heyman's like, I'm trying. Like, he couldn't figure it out. Maybe they should have figured that out before the match. But hey, that's just me. I thought it was hilarious. As for the match, man, hard-hitting, physical, great spots. I thought before the ending, it was a great classic Kevin Owens match, wasn't it? Was that not classic KO? Yes. Like, do that with anybody. But Roman Reigns, man, he's so good. He is so good. Like, I can watch Roman wrestle now and cut promos now till I fall asleep, in happiness. Like, he's so good right now. He's so good. Like, what could you say, man?
So here's something that I bet you don't think about a lot. That's your grip strength. We use our grip strength for so many different things during the day that I don't think we realize how important it is, and how important it is to not just realize we're using it, but to strengthen it. Having good grip strength can mean the difference between falling and not falling, being able to hold on to that item, or dropping it. And you know what else really good grip strength does? It creates a great first impression. Have you ever met someone for the first time and they give you that dead fish hand? That is not a great way to make a good first impression. So why don't you take care of your grip strength? Check out Grip Sanity. You may be asking, what is Grip Sanity? Well, it's an all-in-one device. It's easy to change handles. It'll have your forearms burning in minutes. It'll improve your grip strength, of course, but it's very convenient because you can take it with you anywhere. There's no clunky equipment that you have to bring with you. So if you're wondering what this is and you want to learn out more information, go to gsanity.com and check out Grip Sanity. Look at the testimonials. It's one of those things, guys, that I don't think people really even notice or realize maybe they have an issue until they have a problem. So get ahead of it. Go to Grip Sanity. Check out gsanity.com. That's their website that you can look at the product. You can check out. There's tons of different colors, and you can find the one that suits you. So again, go out and check Grip Sanity. The website is gsanity.com.
He's magic. Like, he is exactly what Vince envisioned him to be, the guy carrying the company, except he's just in the opposite role that we all knew he would excel at, except for Vince, for the last 6 years. And I love how again, the golf cart made me laugh, and I put this out there. I said, this is going to be some kind of GIF or meme within 24 hours. Like, you know, like I could just see somebody taking this and doing something with it politically, or talking about how, you know, 2020 and, you know, is doing this to us or something. Like, you could see somebody taking that and doing something really funny with it. But you're right. With Roman Reigns, him actually attacking a referee to stop the count before the botch happened, just before it happened, that was, I loved it. He, you know, I love the fact that he actually went so low to save his championship.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, to throw the referee into the rafter or whatever the metal piece that he was next to, the scaffolding, and to save his championship was just so telling. And then give Kevin a low blow. I mean, it's as dirty as it can be. There is no line he will not cross. I think it added yet another layer to Roman Reigns that there's nothing he won't do. I love that piece of it. And yes, the botch was hilarious. They stopped the count at 6. And I did not hear that commentary from Roman and from Paul because I was laughing too hard just sitting there like, oh, my God. Like, the referee just stopped, outright stopped. Of course, the ending was a little bit underwhelming with the guillotine. And then it just, you know, Kevin Owens passed out. Do I think it's the right person to win? Yes. As much as I love Kevin Owens, if it was anyone else other than Roman Reigns, I would have said Kevin Owens needs the belt and he would have been deserving. But damn, when you have this hot of a heel, you can't drop the belt from him. And I think that it was the right choice for Roman Reigns to retain here.
That referee sold that Roman Reigns throw so well too. Like, he went face first right into that little red thing. He did it, just such a nice sell for the ref. Yeah, so you got to shout out the referee there for sure. Yeah, that's it.
No. that's a good point.
That's perfect. No, that's a perfect way to end it. The referee was
true.
So brilliant.
Yeah, no. I mean, a referee taking a good bump is few and far between, because that's not what they do and that's not what they should be doing. But he took it great. I mean, yes, I agree. Yeah. It was well done. Okay.
Yeah.
Men's Royal Rumble. Of course, we touched on the end of it, but I want to get your thoughts on kind of the in between. I mean, Kane made his 18th appearance in the Rumble and had his 43rd and 44th elimination in the Royal Rumble. He's there just to be there to add stats, I guess. I think the men's was good. The finish wasn't as good as the women's, but I think the journey to the end was better than the women's, if that makes sense. With Orton feigning an injury and Edge is lasting, you know, he's in the corner. He's feigning elimination. He's getting, you know, we have Christian come back. That I pop for Christian. I'm such a Christian fan, and I always was when he was actually, you know, an active competitor, which he had to, you know, leave because of injury, and obviously Edge did too. So I'm sure that Christian was inspired by Edge's return, and I'm sure they were working together to see them embrace in the ring. I wish there was a crowd there. They would have absolutely lost their minds to see Edge and Christian, not just in a talk show and they're not really active competitors, but in a true active competitor status, reunite ENC. People would have lost their minds, and it's just really sad that you didn't get to see that with people there to react. But seeing Christian come back was a huge deal that I love. Seth Rollins coming back. I mean, this was not so lenient on the legends, and I think that really helped the men's Rumble. Of course, Seth Rollins did make a great return. He didn't win it, but he had some big eliminations. So what did you think about the journey to the end of the match?
It was good. Let me just quickly get to the Christian return. I didn't see it coming, not even a little bit. I didn't mark out as much as Edge. I thought it was a nice moment. I definitely thought it was a pretty nice moment for sure. But I had fun with it for sure. I feel like Christian, isn't it like so Christian? Like, you know, there's Edge. He's the main guy last year. And then you have Christian come out. And it's like, yeah, everybody's marking out for Christian. But it's kind of like, yeah, but it's not Edge. You know, it's like, yeah, kind of feel bad for him. Like, he should be in the Hall of Fame, by the way. I just want to mention that. He's not, right? He's still not in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think so,
right? In my opinion, I think he should still be in the Hall of Fame. I thought overall, like, the men's Royal Rumble, it was good. I love the Seth Rollins return. I was laughing so hard because I didn't even realize his theme song. Like, I'm not sure if you saw, like, what I made of my video on it, but, like, I was waiting for, like, 10 seconds. I'm like, oh, that's right. The Messiah theme yes. song. Because, like, I feel like he was gonna go back to maybe a different character, but he's still the Messiah, I guess, with the theme, right? So I guess he's sticking with the Messiah gimmick. I don't know. Like, I felt like Hurricane Helms came out, and I'm like, oh, I've seen him already. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they've
like,
done this before. Yeah, yeah.
Like, but what I will say this, though. Damian Priest, I've never been, like, a massive Damian Priest fan, but I understand why they like him. Big guy, talented, good on the – decent on the microphone. I love that he got a nice big push. I thought that was brilliant. He eliminated quite a few people. I actually think that Damian Priest was probably, other than Edge, obviously, the star of the men's Royal Rumble. I don't know. What did you think about Damian Priest's kind of pretty damn good Royal Rumble?
I think he was a standout. I mean, you didn't get a ton of NXT involvement here. You know, you didn't get Adam Cole or somebody like that. I mean, I was expecting to see Aleister Black, of course, but none of that. I mean, Damian Priest was the focal point here for NXT, I think. And he made an impact. He made an impact, and that's what you want. He stood up to Kane. You know, he had some big eliminations himself. He has a presence. For those that haven't seen him before, well, now you have. And it's exposing the NXT talent to a larger audience, which Raw and SmackDown and obviously the Rumble have much more than NXT does. But I thought Damian Priest did a great job. You know, there were some botches. I can't remember who it was with. But, again, the Rumble match is a mess in and of itself. You're going to have botches even from pros. So I loved it. I think that he made an impact. He made a name for himself. And I don't know if this his kind of like with the women's side with Bianca – or not Bianca, but Rhea Ripley. If this is his true call-up, do you know if this is really a call-up for him or just kind of a one-and-done?
I think it's a call-up. Because he looked really strong. So, like, if it was just a one and done, like, that would be kind of a shame. Like, because people will forget. People will forget. So, if this is not a call-up, I think that would be kind of silly. I feel like Damian Priest now has to be on the roster. Maybe he can do some stuff with Riddle. Maybe he can do some stuff with Baron Corbin. Or King Corbin, sorry. I don't know. Like, I feel this was a... I don't know. I feel like this is a call-up. The other person I'd like to mention during the Royal Rumble who I thought looked really good, and again, I'm surprised he didn't get a longer kind of leash there, was Bobby Lashley. Man, he looks good nowadays, huh?
God, I'm glad you brought him up. Yes, and I love how everyone had a tag team on him. I think it was like four or five guys that had to team up on him to eliminate him, because when he came out, I'm like, you know what? This is a possibility here because of how much elevation the Hurt Business have given him, MVP specifically, the United States Championship. I think they have done an excellent job with Bobby Lashley over the last several months in the Hurt Business, everybody involved in the Hurt Business. But I loved the fact that Bobby Lashley felt more important than he's ever felt ever in the Royal Rumble match. So, yes, I agree.
Did you feel anything for Carlito coming back?
I think that I remember Carlito with, you know, obviously he was a smaller frame. He didn't have facial hair. So I don't like the facial hair on Carlito because that's not how I remember him. There's that nice little nostalgia. I don't know, again, if he's a one and done either. I don't know. I got to do more research on if these guys and gals are just kind of one and done or call ups or going back to NXT or if it's true. You know, there's so many things and variables, but. I mean, I marked out quickly. I didn't get up out of my seat or verbally make any noise, you know, but it got my attention. I was thinking about, oh cool, cool. You know, I remember him, right? He had the apple.
Yeah, cool, right? Cool. Like, that was my reaction. I was just like, oh, that's cool. Like, there's a lot of rumors on it, so I didn't have the, you know, kind of pop value, but I'm like, oh, that's...
Like, I'm like, neat. That's yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah, like, that's nice. It doesn't.
Who else is coming? Yeah,
exactly.
Out?
I'm like, all right, cool. Let's see how quickly it takes to get him eliminated. But all right, I haven't seen him in a while. Let's see what he looks like and move on. I mean, that's how I felt.
So let's say, Matt.
What's that?
The big returns that didn't happen.
The returns.
Where was John Cena?
No John Cena. No Rock. Right.
No Rock.
No Fiend.
No Fiend.
So what do you think? I mean, I will say this in order. I was surprised about. The Fiend, very surprised, and yes, they like I know you mentioned off air, but they could have debuted or could be debuting him tomorrow night. But or really, in terms of my time, it's now Monday, so they could be debuting him tonight. But The Rock, I didn't really feel like he had a chance. I mean, those are always those long shots. John Cena, I thought, had a higher chance than The Rock, but only slightly, because John Cena has recently been in the promos for WrestleMania Report, where he announced that WrestleMania is going to be in LA in 3 years. But I mean, I'm not shocked. John Cena is not a guy that I think would win the Royal Rumble. If he's going to come back, it's going to be in a non-title capacity for some kind of grudge or personal issue like he had last year with The Fiend. Obviously, we know what that turned into last year, which was an acid trip, which wasn't really a match. But Lars Sullivan, that was also floating out there. Mr. I'm a freak, but I, you know, kind of come and go. And, you know, I get WWE in trouble and I talk to married women on Instagram, but then I'm back. So Lars Sullivan, I don't know what to make of him. I don't know if we'll ever see him back. I don't know where he's at. But I'm not surprised. I'm really not. The only shock I had was The Fiend, because I had him for sure at the Royal Rumble screwing with Randy Orton. That leads to their match, maybe at Elimination Chamber, Fastlane, or even WrestleMania at this point. So what about you? What did you think of those possibilities?
See, John Cena was there. He was the 31st person, okay? You just missed them because they cut off air. Just like, you know, I'm just joking, by the way. A terrible joke, I know. I don't know. I got no reaction from you. That's
tough. I was on mute. I put you on mute, so I actually made a reaction.
Oh, but okay. That makes me feel so much better. No. Don't worry. Your listeners laughed, I'm sure. One of them, yeah. At least, probably.
I can hear it.
One of them. One of them laughed, close, for sure. Yeah. Out of the millions and millions of your listeners that you have. I thought The Rock was, there's really small chance he's going to come back, but I would have really, I still feel like they got to do The Rock versus Roman Reigns once, right? Like, eventually, like they have to, like it is so perfect. I would be shocked if they don't do it eventually, maybe not this year, but next year, in front of a crowd, hopefully. I think that's something like a no brainer. If The Rock wants to do it, or maybe he'll wait a couple years and go to Hollywood, right? There is a Royal Rumble, or sorry, a WrestleMania at LA, right? So,
yep.
So that's going to be an interesting one. There was like The Fiend not showing up. I was also kind of confused when he wasn't up there. But then after seeing how they started with the whole Edge Randy and they ended with the whole Edge Randy, I guess it kind of made sense. But again, Edge winning, right? Like, that doesn't make sense. It just means that Randy is going to go back to The Fiend feud right now. So, I don't know. Like, there's so many names I was thinking that maybe had a chance to come back. Like, I even something ridiculous like Undertaker. Like, I heard rumors about the Undertaker unretiring for like the 176th time. I thought maybe they would have signed somebody. Like some big name. Like, what's his name? From New Japan Pro Wrestling. The guy they're hyping pretty heavily. God, what's his name? Oh, it's good. Jay White. I thought he would have showed up. And then I also thought like they were gonna do like some sort of bigger legends. I don't know. I thought the Royal Rumble, the men's Royal Rumble, was fine. I think it was all right, but it was one of those Royal Rumbles that there wasn't any two like massive names there. Christian, I guess, is a pretty decent name. But I don't feel like there was anybody that you went like, whoa, like really marked out nuts for, like nuts. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It was just kind of, there were times where you mark out a little bit, you make a little, you're like, oh, cool, nice, nice. I think the biggest one for me was Christian. I actually, you know, I sat up and made verbal noise. When you actually make real noise, that's how you know it's a moment for you. Instead of just sitting there and maybe thinking it in your head, when you actually verbalize it, I think that's when you know they've got you. And to me, Christian was really that only that time. Kane, I'm a huge Kane fan, but not in 2021. I think he's well past where he needs to be in ring at all. All these things, when Royal Rumble rolls around, there are 1,000 rumors that float around. Undertaker makes me laugh. That would be absolutely just insane.
Can you imagine?
No. The gong goes off. No.
No, come on. You don't want to see Undertaker show up, boom, and then he picks up his gloves and he picks up his hat from the middle of the ring.
He puts them back on. Kidding. Yeah. No, I'm okay with just Undertaker is going to come back at some point, but it's not going to be for a match. It's going to be like when Stone Cold comes back, drop somebody with a stunner, drink some beer. For Undertaker, it's going to be a choke slam, a tombstone, and goodnight the lights. I mean, that's fine. I'm fine with that. Like, I don't need Undertaker in a match, but if you want to give me his greatest hits and he walks away, cool. So the other thing is no cash in from The Miz on either end, on the Universal Championship or the WWE Championship. Are you surprised by that?
I forgot that he's still the holder.
Yeah, me too.
So, yeah, I guess I'm a little surprised. I just forgot about it, which actually would have been perfect, right? Because I'm like, oh, crap, there he comes, right? But no, it never happened. I guess they need to save something for, like, what's coming up next, right? Like, they need to save something. But, like, I don't understand. Like, what's the point of having The Miz have the championship again, though? Like, or the Money in the Bank, so we can lose it twice? Yeah. Like, there's no way
he's going to be that's my fear.
Holder unless he starts some sort of crazy new faction with them NXT studs or something and legitimizes himself a little bit again.
You're the one. I remember the last pay-per-view review show.
I called
you SOB because you're the one that said, I don't know, man. You're like, he didn't actually cash it in. John Morrison did. I'm like, I don't know. I hope not. And here we are. Like, he has had it.
All of it.
I don't know. You have some kind of in with WWE Creative. I don't know. But when you said that and it came true, I'm like, unbelievable.
Matt, I'm just a wrestling mark. I've been watching this this industry and watching wrestling since I was a sperm, man. Like, I've been watching this for so long. I just kind of know. I know when there's commercial. Do you know when a commercial break is about to happen?
You can feel it. You can feel it in your bones like 10 seconds ahead. Yes.
I know. I'm like, here it comes, and right there, every single time.
Because
right?
They zoom in. When somebody gets knocked to the outside of the ring, that's like 90% of the time. I'm like, what do they do? They just won't have commercial breaks if nobody gets knocked to the outside of the ring. They're just like, guys.
Suicide dive.
Yeah. it's insane.
Let me just say this. One of my pet peeves in wrestling, like just in general, I know this is kind of off topic, but is when wrestlers do other wrestlers' signature moves. Like, I feel – Excuse me. I feel like the suicide dive should be used by like one wrestler, like maybe like a Daniel Bryan. Like, I don't feel like everybody needs a super kick. Everybody needs a suicide dive. You know, like I feel like it legitimizes or illegitimizes the move if they get spammed and different wrestlers use it. What's your opinion on that?
I am 100% on board for stop making finishers transition moves. Right, the DDT was Jake Roberts' finish maneuver, and it's now a transition maneuver. Believe it or not, the clothesline or the body slam in 30, 40 years ago, of course, used to be a finisher. It's just all these power moves that should be finishers have now become transition moves where no one even attempts a pin after a super kick anymore. No one attempts a pin after a DDT anymore. It's insane when you think about that. So, yes, everyone's just kind of added it to their repertoire like it's a punch or a kick or a clothesline when it should be, like you said, utilized by one, maybe two at the most. But those are finishing maneuvers, and we've now been re-educated to it's just a transition move. It's just part of the match. It's never going to end the match, which I'm not a proponent of. Now, when we were talking about pet peeves, and this will be like kind of my final point of the Rumble, is having people who are not in the damn match cause eliminations for people that are legally in the match. And what I mean by that, this past match was almost. They've pronounced it three different ways, so I'm going to pick one. He actually eliminated two people from the Rumble. And I'm thinking to myself, how, if you're a legal competitor in a sports match, in a game or whatever, NFL, MLB, if we're supposed to be simulated sports here, how does somebody who is not even in the damn match cause somebody who's legally in that match to be eliminated? Explain to me how that happens.
Well, that kind of happened with Carmella and was it Reginald and God, it happened today as well, right? If I'm not mistaken,
almost did it with I don't know the two people he eliminated because he saved AJ Styles a number of times, but then he ended up pulling people off of the ring apron to cause them to be eliminated, and they counted that as legal eliminations. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, why are we doing this?
I don't know. We once had the great Khali eliminate himself.
Oh, my God. I remember that.
Himself back in
the... Oh, yes.
So, you know, who knows, man? Like, who knows what the WWE's thinking when it comes to this stuff? Like, it drives me bonkers sometimes. Like, every time I feel like I'm like, I really want to praise the WWE, they'll do something stupid right after. So, I don't know. I agree. It's kind of annoying more than anything. So, like, what would you rate Royal Rumble at, like, out of 10 as a whole?
At a 10.
Or a letter grade if you want.
Okay, I'll do letter grade. I'd say a B minus. I'd give it a B minus overall. What about you?
Yeah, I was going to say C plus B minus. I think that's pretty fair. I like the people who won, except like maybe not as much, but I don't hate some of the booking today. I don't
agree.
Hate a lot of what they did. I just don't think they made the Royal Rumble special at all, other except for maybe Bianca, who for sure, for her, I believe is just an unbelievable night. And she deserves it, man. She's a hard worker and she has a great story, and I'm really happy for her for sure.
And the real emotion from her at the end. I mean, those weren't fake crocodile tears. Like, she was legitimately emotional about it, and, you know, good for her. Same with Edge. I mean, like you said, the booking of who won the matches, I think, was almost 100% spot on. It really, I think, softened the blow that we didn't get insanely great matches and the Royal Rumble matches were kind of ho-hum on both ends. The booking of who won, I think, softened that. I mean, that's kind of what's saving the grade here. Any final thoughts on the Royal Rumble?
I'm curious what they're going to be doing next with Edge. Like, that's my big takeaway from this show, is what happens now with Edge. How are they going to get me invested into the WrestleMania match with him versus Blank?
Yep.
Like, that's my big question. And I would like to say, Matt, I do appreciate, once again, you know, having taken my, or not taken my time, me taking your time, I should say, just having me on here as a guest once again. I have a blast, and I really appreciate you helping out my channel too, because it's actually unbelievable. We are getting close to 70,000 subs, and I know you guys have came over there and helped me and support me just like I come there and support you. So I appreciate it, man. The Botch guy, I really appreciates it, buddy.
No, absolutely. I was just going to say to everybody, if you haven't already, you got to go to his YouTube channel and subscribe. Just do yourself a favor. It's super quick. He doesn't have long videos, because who has an attention span today? I don't, right? Nobody does. And you just hit it quick, and you do it with an energy that is just, I mean, it's authentic. It's always fun to watch. You do it with stuff that's relevant. And you're probably you got the fastest trigger finger in the West. I mean, like, you just put it up so fast. it's absurd. So yes,
I try to make quality.
Yes.
Too. Like, it's,
yep.
It's, because, like, anybody can post pretty quickly. Like, when, especially on pay-per-views, I have to be quick. It's just the way it works with reaction videos, especially in pay-per-views. But, like, on Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, like, I like to take my time, get some really good editing with Premiere Pro that I just finally got.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And, you know, and just try to do stuff like that. But, again, man, I really appreciate it, Matt. You're too kind, my friend. You're way too kind. You want to go for another hour?
Yeah,
now?
I have to get up in like 4 hours. So, yeah, the answer is no. But I mean, I could. Wrestling just is unbelievably a great way to pass time. I say that every time. Talking wrestling is just like, I don't know. It's like back in my day when I used to drink in college and stuff, like, time goes so fast when you drink. But in this time, it's a much healthier option of talking about wrestling. And it goes like that. But before you go, I know you have your Botch Guy YouTube channel, but I think you have another YouTube channel, don't you?
Oh, that's so nice of you. You're going to let me plug my lovely dog's YouTube channel. That's so nice of you. Yes, my golden doodle, he just turned 1 year old. He has his own YouTube channel called Golden Doodle Botchy. There's a space after Golden Doodle. Yeah, we're actually getting pretty close to 2,000 subs there too, which is actually pretty crazy considering it's my dog more than anything. But you know what? Just for fun, guys, if you guys go on either of my channels and in my most recent video and you put like an avocado or something emoji there, I'll give you the craziest emote or craziest shout out using Matt's voice. I'm gonna recreate Matt's voice. And I'm going to shout you all on my next video and or on my live stream just for fun, to see how many people want to get shouted out. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, Matt.
Okay. In your voice. All right. That sounds good. Awesome. I can't wait to be made fun of. That's great. Can't wait. So, all right. Well, awesome. Well, Mr. Botch Guy, it is great to have you on the show. Of course, we'll be doing this again in just 3 weeks. I mean, I know the last time we said 6 weeks and it just flew by. And now here we are 3 weeks, which is the typical pay-per-view to pay-per-view time frame, 3 to 4 weeks. So Elimination Chamber will be upon us on February 21st. So I'm looking forward to that.
Ooh, yeah. Nice. This month coming
up. Yes, sir.
Beautiful.
So, alrighty. Well, thank you so much, and we'll be in touch.
Hey, thank you so much. A pleasure. You're the best.
Thank you.